You're listening to Four Seas One Family, episode 85. Welcome to Four Seas One Family, the podcast where expats, immigrants, and migrants can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey, and welcome to the show. This episode, we're lucky to have an incredible travel blogger who is also an optimistic mom to be on the show today. Originally from the Great White North, Toronto, Canada, Jenna, who is a sustainable travel blogger, has traveled to over 50 nations. She shares with us her overseas life story on an unseasonably hot summer's day in Europe. Hear how Jenna adapted to unexpected occurrences while living overseas, and how she learned to use these sudden occurrences to build a better understanding of her overseas environment, and in the end, more about herself as well. So without any further ado, let's listen to the interview. How you doing, Jenna? Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Tell everybody where you're coming to us from.
I'm coming from Düsseldorf, Germany, and the hottest day of the year so far.
Well, how hot can it be over there? Come on now. How hot can it be? Come on, tell us.
Well, I'd say typically we're used to about 25 degree temperatures, and today we're at 35.
Yeah, that can be quite kind of crazy weather. Hey, okay, now look, now tell everybody where you're from, and how did you end up out there?
I am from Toronto, Canada, originally, or from a small town just outside of Toronto. And to make an extremely long story short, I guess about 5.5 years ago, I started my first journey around the world. And my first visit was to South Africa. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had been starting my travel blog and to see where that would grow from. And ironically, it was also the time when I met my boyfriend and now husband.
Right.
And so it kind of just went from there. I met him in South Africa. We did the long distance thing for a couple of years.
Ooh.
I made the decision to pack up in Canada and move over to Germany. And I thought, we'll try it out for 3 months, see how it works. And now it's been almost over 4 years.
Wow. That's what they all say. We're going to try it out. Then all of a sudden ended up staying. Well, I was going to stay for 3 months and ended up staying for 13 years, you know. Hey, well, what got into your bones to say, hey, you know, Canada's a nice place. You know, I'm from the United States, and all, you know, Americans at the particular time, we are all jealous of Canada because that's where it seems to be a lot more relaxed, you know, and people are polite and whatever. But what gave you that itch to say, hey, I want to see what's going on outside of the borders? What gave you that?
Originally, I graduated from my bachelor in sports marketing at Brock University down in Niagara Falls in Canada.
I know that place.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know Brock.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm from, I went to school in Cortland and we ran track against those guys, but okay, that's another story.
There you go. Yeah, so I had just graduated. I started my first job in a marketing firm. I was enjoying it, but I just realized that wasn't exactly perfect for me. And so I had tested out a couple different trips. I went in school. I went on a missions trip to Peru to help teach sport development. And that was amazing.
Wow.
I carried on to South Africa. And I think once you start traveling, you get that bug. And the biggest step for me after that was really telling myself, okay, are you going to make that full move or not? And that was difficult. But knowing that Germany, it feels really like the center of the world. So if you're a huge traveler, Canada is amazing. And I miss the lifestyle over in Canada. But at the same time, it's amazing to feel like you're just at the center of the world, and being able to visit so many places at such an affordable price has been incredible.
You've been to like all over the place. You've been to Thailand, you've been Cuba, yeah, of course, and you know, the Netherlands and France and all that stuff. I mean, do you do much research on places that you're going to go, you know, before you step out the door, or you just open up a map and close your eyes and just throw a dart at it. How do you go about that?
I wouldn't say I do too much research beforehand. And I think that's because I've been writing on a travel blog for so long that I find that the more I read other people's content, I develop more of their ideas in my mind. And so if I can just kind of throw a dart out there and go where the possibilities lead me, then I'm able to also kind of tell people my own story without having anybody else's stories in the back of my mind.
Cool. Well, wait a minute. Now, you just jump a little bit to your travel blog. Talk a little bit about that. And I want to talk more about how your travel blog inspires, maybe help you continue inspiring yourself, but also others. Can you talk about one of the blogs and just go right into it?
Sure. The first blog that I started was a sustainable travel blog called Give For Granted. And I originally started that from day one in South Africa. Hmm. And that's with this travel blog, I've been to over 50 countries now.
Wow.
And it really, I mean, it starts off, and I think this is similar for everybody, that it just starts off as a blog for your parents and your family, and you grow it from there.
Oh. So the blog was to tell everybody, you know, to keep getting the same questions over and over again. You just threw up that blog, right?
Oh, yeah. Basically, to tell my mom I was still alive.
Oh, come on. Well, okay. Then maybe. Well, okay, then. So while bouncing all over the place, okay, that's the first blog. While bouncing all over the place, right, did you find that kind of, while writing the blog, did you find that quite, I'm going to use the word therapeutic or what?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was more, at the beginning, it's always useful as almost a diary, I'd say. And then at some point, that diary changes when people start asking more questions about particular places to go or restaurants to eat at. And then you start realizing, okay, I'm not the only one, you know, reading my own content, but I also have to write for other people.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, for other people, what do you mean? Okay, go back in that now. You said for other people now. Go ahead.
Well, when I first started the blog, it was just for me. And it was just kind of to use as a collection to have for myself, mm-hmm. to have in the future, so I could always remember my journeys. And then when you start realizing that other people are following your journey and that your content is actually helping them out, I think that's a really neat feeling. And that's mm-hmm. when you start realizing, okay, maybe they don't want to know what I've had for breakfast today necessarily, but I can really kind of organize this content in a way that will benefit not only myself to remember all these amazing places I've been to, but for other people as well.
Are there any particular type of questions that you found generically that just come up over and over again and you found yourself having to, in some cases, reiterating or regurgitating or reformatting the question?
Sure. I think that a lot of people ask a very general question in regards to sustainable tourism and which countries are particularly the best countries to visit. And what my answer always is that it isn't always a particular country that is more sustainable than another, but the way that you travel. And so, I mean, it always helps me really formulate the blogs that I do create, but it makes for interesting answers.
Let's go deep into, you said, the sustainable traveling. I mean, that's like a new thing right now that's in the minds. I've seen a lot of tourist magazines and flyers and all that stuff. Can you go a little bit more in depth into that?
Sure. I think it really depends on how you choose to write about sustainable travel, because there's also ecotourism. Mm-hmm. And while I have written a few blogs here and there, maybe about the coolest eco-tourist resorts or destinations to visit, I focus a lot more on the sustainability of the little things, the little changes that you can make in your travels. So instead of, you know, booking that flight and that all-inclusive package directly from home, maybe creating this travel itinerary on your own and finding ways to give back to the local community there and to support and kind of make sure that you're not leaving huge footprints when you leave a destination.
Are these things tested that you've done over your time traveling and you got to, you know, beta test some of the things you're writing?
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing on my own blog is that I've made so many mistakes along the way as well, you know, and that kind of helps me learn, well, what have I done right and what have I done wrong? and how have I learned from that? Mm-hmm. And my last year of university, I took a course. My minor was in tourism and environment and sustainability. So we headed to Thailand for 4.5 months to really learn about tourism in Thailand and what makes it sustainable and what makes it unsustainable.
Mm. What particular mistake that you felt you have made that sticks out in your mind that you wouldn't want anyone else to repeat?
There's very obvious ones, I think. And this is what I also learned in Thailand with the professor and the entire class. Mm-hmm. Was going to an elephant retreat, perhaps, that you think is an elephant retreat. But the fact of the matter is that you really, really have to do that research before you go, because there's tons of elephant retreats there that aren't necessarily, you know, they're holding them captive, not a sanctuary. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would feel kind of bad, too, going out there knowing that possibly the animal is being mistreated and I'm, you know, riding along. That would kind of like... would not let me sleep well at night, but you know,
yeah.
But you know, yeah, that's a good point to break out. What do you think that helped you? Well, I don't want to say the word integrate, but helped you get more benefit out of your stay while you're in a certain overseas community. What elements that you use to really helped you enjoy your experience abroad?
I think the biggest thing is really being able to embrace the culture and the people around you. And if I mean myself as well, I've been quite stubborn in some countries when I first went there, and that's just maybe perhaps not trying the food or not understanding the ways of the culture. And I think the best example I have is here living in Germany. I notice a lot of expats around me, they can often be bitter and say, well, nobody wants to talk to me on the streets, and nobody says hello or thank you. And when you really start to understand their culture and why this is the way it is, then you really have a different appreciation and respect for where you are. And once you've kind of surpassed this point where you're opening your arms to different experiences, different opportunities, cultures, and the way that people react, I think it makes your experience 100 times better.
And what are those tiny little things that you do? I mean, of course, we all know that the obvious, being able to pick up a little bit of the language or at least will help a lot. Are there any other things that can help a person get more of their overseas expat, immigrant, migrant experience? Anything?
I think it's just jumping in and really getting to meet the local people. Right,
that's it.
And yeah, so I go to expat events where we're speaking English, but I also go to many events where they're speaking German. And of course, I can apologize and say my German isn't perfect, but bear with me. And half the time you get the funniest answers back saying, your German's so cute, or I love that you're trying, and people really appreciate it. And so it's nice.
Make the voice of your life abroad heard at Four Seas One Family by visiting our contact page at foursseasonefamily.com/contact. Let it be known that we have a lot more in common than we think, because we are Four Seas One Family. Tell me then an experience that kind of sticks on your mind that's related to something like where you really put in time and to build up local relationships. What can you tell me something, a happy story that came out of result of doing that?
Absolutely. Basically, from day one, when I decided to kind of make my home base Düsseldorf, Germany, the first few months that I was here, I really wasn't happy where I was. And that was kind of my slap in the face, realizing, well, I'm here because of my boyfriend or now husband, and this is where his family is, and this is where he wants to be. And we also wanted to make sure that we were close to family if we were going to make this our home base. And so being here, it was really difficult in the first 3 months, knowing that, well, I'm here and I have to love this city. And so how am I going to make sure that I enjoy that? And it was just really just changing my mindset and making sure that I was having a good time. And I think no matter where you are in the world, whether that's a huge city or you're in the middle of the nature, you can always kind of find what fits you perfectly. And that was my way to be able to kind of change the direction and where I was going. And that's when I realized, well, it's not only me that has these struggles, and I'm not the only expat, not just in Düsseldorf, but Germany and all over the world, that has these struggles on a day-to-day basis. I think that's common and that's very standard for expats everywhere. And that's when I decided to take what I've learned and put it into the second blog that I created, which was the expat blog. Lifeindusseldorf.com.
Wow. You are a happy potato. Now, I kind of like said that with a little pun intended because you do have someone coming along there. Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah. So
we are 7.5 months pregnant now.
Congratulations. So.
Thank you.
You're building up local contacts, relationships and like that. What particular type of questions you get from people where you are in Germany about where you come from? And are there any types of stereotypes or falsehood stories that you found yourself trying to either clear up or put a different spin on?
I think I'm lucky coming from Canada. I think the biggest stereotype is that people believe that I truly live at my cottage year-round in the middle of the woods.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I think the number one question is always, well, you're living in Germany now. I really don't understand, because you're surrounded by nature in Canada and it's this beautiful, magical place. Why would you come to Germany?
They probably think it's like Hansel and Gretel, you know, like really like that.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's...
Absolutely.
Well, how about the other way around then? You know, like people back in Canada, they say, well, you're over there in Germany and we heard this and that about it. I mean, are there any things that you have to clear up? I mean, I'm sure on your blog you have to all the time, but what are the things that stick out that you have to tell people back home? No, it's really not like that. Yes, we have snow in common, but it's not this. I mean, are there anything like that that stick out?
I think it's the good thing about the difference between Germany and Canada is that there really isn't much of a difference at all. There was no culture shock for me.
Oh.
And the same goes for my family and friends that come to visit me. But I think that it's usually the stereotype made is based on the people here. And I think a lot of people compare Germans to onions and that you peel back layer at a time and then you really get to know the core of a person, and they're amazing. You know, it just takes a little bit more time to warm up to them. So a lot of people in Canada say, well, we're so friendly. Why would you move to Germany?
Wow. It's very interesting you said onions. I never thought of that. I said, okay, well, I'm going to use that one day and really pull that out. Okay, I'm coming at you like lightning speed. What discoveries have you made then? What I mean by discoveries, like what are the secret or these tiny little gems that you find yourself pulling out through your experience? Not only where you are right now in Germany, but elsewhere. What are there any type of tiny little gems that kind of like pop out that maybe surprised you or in some ways surprising someone else?
You can find as many little gems as you want around the world. And I think the thing that's shocked me the most in regards to my travel is how much I've learned about myself. And I know that sounds a little bit cheesy because everybody says the same thing, but it's true. And, you know, I booked a flight from Germany to India one day and wasn't able to succeed with getting my visa. And I had traveled solo a lot of the time throughout my work. Most of it is press trips, so I am with other people. But for the first time in my life, I was stuck and I needed to find a way into India. And the easiest way to do it was to fly to Nepal first. And it takes about 2 weeks to get a visa into India there. And so I was kind of forced at the time to go completely on my own, 2 weeks completely on my own, which I had never done before. I did, you know, 2, 3, 4 days at a time, maybe in Europe, but never in a country that I knew nothing about. And that was kind of the biggest changing point for me, realizing like that was a hidden gem for me.
Wow.
Knowing how strong I was and how I was able to do that and how it's not just me, but everybody can do this. You know, it wasn't hard to do.
No. You're just being too polite. I would have probably fainted and went home crying, you know, I would have went home, you know, because, okay, this makes me feel to ask something like this. What were some of the then tough or hard adjustments then that you had to make in a particular place? Hard adjustment can be, well, the way maybe you had to change your attitude or the way people were treating you, or because, you know, some, you know, you're going to go through ups and downs, even in your home nation. What are there any type of, you know, hard points you had to hit or stressing points or hard adjustments you had to make in any particular place or maybe all places?
For sure. I think my personality in general, I'm a very bubbly, outgoing, smiley person.
For real.
I'm always laughing. And depending on where you are in the world, I think some people take it in a different way. And when I'm in Germany, a lot of people just don't understand. Why are you laughing and why are you smiling all the time? Like, nobody said anything to make you laugh this hard. And the complete opposite in India, where I was completely by myself, standing in front of the Taj Mahal, smiling from ear to ear. And it wasn't in that situation, I realized, you know, maybe I should tone down the smile and the laughing a bit, because it was asking for attention from other people. And so I had at least 100 people at once come up and grab my camera from me and start taking pictures with me. And I didn't really understand why, but it was just simply because I wasn't from there and I was interesting to them. But when you're smiling from ear to ear, it kind of welcomes people to come up. And of course, I love that. And that's what's helped me make friends around the world. But in certain situations, maybe you're not asking for 100 people to come bombard you and take your camera.
Well, for real, a smile can have a, you know, different type of message in different places, you know, and you do have to do a little bit of research on that. But let me bring something down. Let's bring this conversation down a little bit on ground level. What are your impressions of your interactions with fellow expats or immigrants who are also in Germany or maybe in your other locations? What are your experiences with them? What type of things do you see that maybe are holding them back from enjoying their experience that you probably notice even now or at that particular time?
Certainly. I think that I've met, even in just sort of alone, I run quite a few events around here. So every third Thursday of the month, I meet up with 50 to 100 different expats. And it's easy enough to say that there's two kinds of expats. And it's the ones that decide they want to jump right in and they want to learn the language and they want to make friends in the area. And they're going to push themselves to enjoy their time wherever they are in the world. And then there's other people who believe that they're going to do this, but then sit back and wait for something to happen. And I think no matter where you are in the world, whether it's Germany or Thailand or Taiwan or anywhere, you really have to give yourself that push. And if you're either one or you're the other, and if you're not going to push yourself, then I think that you won't enjoy wherever you are, no matter how beautiful or how unfriendly it might be.
Wow. So you're not only strong, you're bubbling popcorn, you're just like sparkling water, and you have a positive attitude. And I guess that's what keeps you going, right? What were some of the things you had to go through while trying to build a relationship with your current husband? I mean, overseas relationships can be really crazy sometimes. I mean, anything particular sticks out of your mind in that?
Yeah. When I first started this long distance relationship, it wasn't for me. And I had always said my entire life, oh, I'm never going to have a long distance relationship. It's nonsense, especially if you've met someone overseas from the get-go. And then the relationship takes so much longer to actually build up when you're spending so much time apart from one another in the first couple of years. And so I was taking all of the holidays I possibly could. We were flying back and forth. I moved to Thailand for school. He came to visit. It was back and forth constantly. It was stressful. And at some point I decided, you know, it wasn't going to work and this wasn't happening. And I told him, you know, it's not happening. It's not going to work. And my my parents got divorced when I was three. And ever since then, my mom has been such a strong, amazing female figure in my life. But seeing her grow up and take care of three children on her own and make her own salary and fix her own dishwasher and her change her own oil in her car, you know, these things inspired me to be independent as well. And so I was thinking, well, if he's not going to move to Canada, then there's no way as an independent woman that I'm going to make that move over to Germany for somebody else. And it was, I guess, not even a week after I had split up with him, saying this really wasn't going to work, that my mom came to me and said, you know, usually I'm so proud of you because you're so independent, but I've never seen you this upset in my entire life. I've never seen you so hurt being split from somebody like that. And she said, I truly believe that this is the person for you and that you need to make that leap. And so having my mom, you know, give me that go ahead was like, okay, this is really happening and I'm going to do it.
Wow. Okay. Everybody stand, give moms an applause. That's right. Mom's giving her applause right now. And thank you, mom, because you really made, you turned Jenny into a wonderful, wonderful woman. And we are lucky to have the Future Moms show today. So how has living abroad caused you to change your global vision about not only people, but about the world in general?
In regards to the way that I've been living here, it's totally different from the way that I was raised. And we often say in Canada, I don't know if you've heard this before, but in the Toronto area in particular, we say that we live in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
We're stuck in a bubble. And everything in my life seemed so safe. And you heard, of course, on the news about things that were going on around the world, but you didn't actually know because we were in this bubble. You know, you weren't able to kind of live it and be close to situations that happen on a daily basis. And so kind of popping that bubble and going out into the world and exploring it really gives you a better understanding of how hard sometimes the world can be. And you're not actually willing to help, I think, until you've actually been there and kind of integrated yourself into some of these situations and hardships. And then you really start to understand and you really start to build this passion to help support other people. And that's definitely been the biggest change for me.
Wow. You know, Jenna, this is wonderful. And you know, I'm going to try to get you back on the show again after the little one is born, just and talk a little bit about how's that going. And I'm sure your blog will be full of that information. And maybe, I mean, this is also kind of like a repeat question. And it's quite important for those people who are, for those people who are thinking about making an expat journey, or for those who are maybe already overseas but not getting or feeling they are not benefiting much from their experience. Do you have any advice you can give to people on those two ends?
Definitely. What I did when I first moved here, or a few months after moving to Düsseldorf, like I said, the first few months were hard. So kind of finding my way was really important, knowing that this was going to be my home base. And so what I did was simply sit down and write on a piece of paper exactly what I missed about being at home. And that was maybe spending time with my friends, or going up to the cottage, being in the nature, going for hikes, or going to different flea markets. And in Düsseldorf particularly, it's known as this art and fashion capital. And I, to be honest, I'm not a huge fashion art type of person. You know, I really don't enjoy shopping, and art museums aren't my thing. And for the first few months, this is where people kept taking me, because this is Düsseldorf and this is what makes them proud. But at the same time, this list that I wrote was so important of everything that I missed and everything that I wanted from my experience. And I don't think you can jump into a new place or a new country and expect to change your entire life. You do still need to hold on to your values and your interests. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was thinking, well, Düsseldorf is such a big and modern city. Where am I going to find these opportunities to do what I would have done back at home in Canada? And since then, I found numerous flea markets to visit that are 10 times better than back in Canada. You know, I found beautiful hikes that are still within driving distance of 20, 30 minutes. And I found ample opportunities to make friends. And that was just making that push and kind of just translating my list simply into something that I could do here or anywhere in the world.
So the idea of just getting out there, don't keep yourself canned up and use a positive attitude to learn about people. And you find out that people, like I always say, have a lot more in common than they may think. Hey, so tell my listeners, where can they find you? You know, websites, what's the best way to get out there to you?
Well, we run two different blogs now. So either at giveforgranted.com or lifeindusseldorf.com. And with those same addresses, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, either at giveforgranted or at lifeinduce. So just D-U-S.
That's right. We're going to join your 23,000 visitors per month and your 15,000 community members. It's wonderful. You're doing a great job. And, you know, Jenna, thank you very much for being on the show today. And after the little guy is born, I put a note right down here. I'm going to see if I can ring you up again and see how things are going. Okay.
Wonderful. Sounds great.
Take care, Jenna. We'll talk to you again in the future.
Take care.
Once again, I would like to thank Gina Davis for taking the time out of her hot summer day to join us here at Four Seas, One Family. And also you. You can reach out to us at the website fourseasonefamily.com. If you have any questions about living life overseas as an expat or immigrant, you can send us email at comments@fourseasonefamily.com or drop us a note at our contact page, fourseasonefamily.com/contacts. And while you're there, you can also send us voicemail. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. For Four Seas, One Family from Taipei, Taiwan, I'm James Thomas. Take care and zaijian.